Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, by Polar, chase your destiny, by Premium Plus Sports, that's premiumplus-sports.com, best travel agency around, USA-swimrun.com. If you haven't tried a swim run event, grab a buddy and give a swim run a try. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we just sent out 2,806 grants, totaling $4.3 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, part of the Pease team, which will be racing in Kona this year. Amazing backstory. Brent Pease joins us. Brent, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am spectacular. Always a pleasure to get to chat with you. So, first of all, talk a little bit about when you and Kyle first started racing together.
It was really my first Ironman that pulled him into it. I did Louisville in 2010, which I hear the heat there may or may not have me at least thinking about what Kona is going to feel like. But that was back when that edition was in August.
Yeah.
And Kyle's experience there really got him hooked on the sport, much like probably a lot of folks that come to triathlon, just hearing and seeing about the experience, not just of my own, but of everybody that competes at this endurance event. And so that following year, actually, our gift to Kyle that winter was to get him into his first triathlon, which was the St. Anthony's Triathlon. So, you know, that's what really kicked it off for us and exposed him to triathlon and gave him the opportunity to really see what that was like. Of course, he was itching for his opportunity to be able to test his athletic prowess at Ironman himself.
So talk a little bit. So Kyle was born with cerebral palsy. And
he has cerebral palsy with spastic quadriplegia.
Oh, with spastic quadriplegia. So is that similar to Rick Hoyt?
Very similar. In fact, the only main difference, of course, is, Kyle is able to talk.
Right.
Which Rick, because of his inverted tongue, is not able to communicate.
So growing up, what was the relationship like with the two of you?
I always had a protector mentality, maybe as so many older siblings do. But I always wanted to try and bring Kyle along and all the things that we were doing. And, my mom's famous story is waking up and finding a 5 and 3 year old Brent and Kyle downstairs and wondering how Kyle had got there, only to find that I had carried him down the stairs.
Wow.
I don't remember it as well as she does, but I guess the old house, that wasn't a good idea for a five-year-old. But we wanted to go downstairs and watch Sports Center and hang out. So we've always been close, and we've always just had different things that we shared together. And this is just the latest in a long list of things that we've been doing together our entire lives.
So you were a swimmer growing up, and but then you got a little out of shape, right? So 2007?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. You lost about 30 pounds?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was it just business, just, you know, getting into life and that type of thing that sort of lost your way a little bit?
I didn't swim in college, and it was newfound freedom, so I had a lot of fun.
Good.
And the party continued beyond college. When I got that first job, entertaining for drinks or going back to football games and just kind of continuing that party was really what I did. And I just found myself out of shape and out of control, really. And so it started with just running, and that felt a little bit mundane to me. So I got back in the pool and did what anybody does in an economic downturn and went out and bought a bike and signed up for a triathlon.
Exactly. You know what's fascinating about that? Because when you look at when the economy has gone south, especially the last couple of times, I think people look inward and go, you know what? I don't need a couch. I don't need a lot of that other stuff. I just need to feel good about myself. And that becomes the priority rather than possessions. It becomes how feeling good about yourself and being able to achieve whatever you want, which goes way beyond dollars. What was your first triathlon?
My first triathlon was the Chattanooga Waterfront Olympic Triathlon.
And were you hooked?
I was hooked. Yeah, I was hooked. I was so sore after that race. I thought, this is awesome. And I wish I could dig up some of the pictures from that triathlon somewhere. I certainly did not look like I wasn't in near the shape I am today. But, that race is, at least here in the Southeast, it's one of the kind of originals that people go do. It's a fun experience. The community loves it. You got to bike on the highway, you know.
Yes.
That's my dream, is to just bike on highways, you know.
That are blocked off.
Exactly. Well, of course, yeah.
That was actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because when they started the United States Triathlon Series, and I'm from Chicago, when they said, we're blocking off lanes on Lakeshore Drive for you to ride your bikes on. I'm like, oh, I am so in. I am coming
exactly.
in for that puppy. That was the coolest thing. So I can feel that. And one of the things when you're racing, and I've seen it with Dick and Rick Hoyt, how they struggled with the equipment. Do you put, did he put Rick on the handlebars? Do you have Rick and a trailer behind? Just trying to figure all that out. At least you had Dick and Rick who'd already done it. But finding the right equipment to do even that first triathlon, how hard was that?
It was, it was hard, but, there's two things about the Hoyts that have long inspired me. And when we first got into it, we had seen the story, but like many people, it wasn't something we just weren't always at the front, because we weren't in the triathlon and sports world at the time. We were into football and beer and wings.
Right.
And as soon as we got back into it, I started seeing the stories again, or going back and finding the old Sports Illustrated articles. It always stuck with me that Rick was on the front of the bike and that he was the cyclist. And we wanted to create that same experience for Kyle and for any of the athletes that we work with, to let them feel like they're the cyclist versus towing them behind us.
That's a good point.
And the other thing the Hoyts did that always stuck with me is they told me that, or I saw in one of their interviews, that they tried to respond to every email they got. Now, I don't get near the number of emails that Rick and Dick Hoyt do, but we've always tried to respond. And so, of course, when I reached out to them, they responded to me, and they gave me a list of equipment they use and resources and places to look. So the hardest thing was the bike, because, of course, the bike that they did their last few Ironman events in was a custom bike made by Cannondale. And Cannondale wasn't taking phone calls for Brent Kyle Pease at the time.
Yeah.
So we found a company in Winnipeg that makes active lifestyle bikes for disabled persons. And we worked with them and developed a bike over kind of 3 years that turned into our Ironman bike. So what we use at Wisconsin and what we continue to refine, we've worked with them and then with a local engineer and bike shop mechanic here to help kind of get this thing where we can continue to maintain that experience for Kyle while finding something that works well with his disability and my ability.
So I remember one of the things that always struck me with Dick and Rick was when you added in the weight of the bike with the weight of Rick, with the weight of Dick, it was like nearly 400 pounds that he was riding up towards Javi, pushing. What is your equipment between the two of you guys?
We're 385.
You are 385.
Yeah, but I do have some fun stuff. So Kona for us has been such a cool thing, because so many people have come out that want to support us.
Yeah.
And a guy who fabricates race car seats here said, I think I can fabricate you a seat. So he helped fabricate. We started with carbon fiber and then realized that it didn't ventilate well for Kyle. So he built us an aluminum seat for the bike, and then we reclined Kyle a little bit more. Because if you look at Rick and Dick Hoyt, he sits at more of an angle, where Kyle traditionally has sat more upright like he does in his everyday wheelchair. But given the potential for windy conditions, we wanted to keep our wind profile as small as possible. Maybe you love that, hearing this, and I've loved reading stories about your growth in the sport and seeing what people did when the sport first got started. And Rick and Dick were kind of in that thing. Like, they had equipment and they made it work, and they were tough athletes. And,
right.
Kyle and I have Oakleys and Lycra and all the fancy gear that's available to the triathletes today. But, we want to utilize what we can get our hands on.
So in terms of the surprise, like, you've been doing this for a while now, you guys did your first your first Ironman was 2010, and then you did your first 10K together, what, February 2011. And you've done 25-ish events together. What was the first?
No, we've
done more.
We've done over 75.
75?
Triathlons. Yeah, triathlons is probably 20.
25 triathlons, that's right. So 75 total events. September 13th, you did Ironman Wisconsin. What was the learning from that? Because it's one thing to do halves and the rest of it, but to do the full, the nutrition side itself, just keeping both of you guys. I remember Dick telling me once, you know, he's so worried about keeping sunscreen on Rick, making sure that he's, you know, eating, drinking, that he wasn't eating or drinking anything himself. And yeah, did you find that?
Yeah, I mean, every one of these is a learning experience for us, and every one of them is a, you know, presents a different set of challenges. I think the biggest thing from Wisconsin is that we realized we had to really continue to work on the bike. We had mountain gearing on that that 13 bike.
Yeah,
so we had three cranks up front, and you know, we had a mountain cassette. I mean, we were set up, you know, just so trying to refine, and that was that's not an easy bike course.
No,
it took us nearly 9 hours. Which another tip of the hat to Dick, that he's done the things he's done on a bike with 400 pounds. But I think the biggest thing we came away is that, you know, I had to become a better cyclist, and Kyle had to, you know, learn how to endure, for that long. 'Cause it's, you know, it's hard putting them through the paces of that stuff. It's just, it's a difficult event for everybody. Those are the biggest takeaways there. But, you know, I think every race we've done, especially the long course stuff, it throws something else at us that we say, oh, we didn't think about that. I mean, we did 2014 Ironman Florida, and it was 39 degrees with wind gusts up to 40. And we're like, oh, well, this bike doesn't work in the wind. We gotta fix this thing, because we'll never finish the Hawaii course if we have to fight the wind like this for 9 hours.
I remember one of the things that Dick hadn't taken into account was coming back from Javi and having the NBC helicopter hovering over them and blowing everything all over poor Rick and Dick. They were just coated with drink and food
everything.
And everything. You know, you don't think, oh well, I better plan for the helicopter. So, how did Iron Man surprise you and let you know that you and Kyle were going to be going to Kona this year?
Well, like everybody, you know, that became the, you know, the holy grail for us for
right.
everything. We wanted to be able to achieve what everybody else has, and so we've asked in different ways. We've tried the lottery. We've tried to, you know, petition to say, you know, we feel like we earned it based on our resume.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've been sticking with it. Last year in 17, we think we kind of felt like maybe we just didn't have an option. So we said, we love this sport. We love doing this. We love competing together. Let's just go do one. So we did Boulder. And, I remember after that one, I almost didn't send off the normal annual ask. And so, when we got to Raleigh this year, it was the same thing. We wanted to compete together. We always do one special race that's just us. And we had no expectations of anything coming out of that. And I actually appreciate that, because it was what it turned into, not just the surprise at the finish of Ironman handing us our literal golden ticket, but it was the recognition of the years of effort and energy we'd put into the sport and into ourselves, to say, you guys have earned this. And so it made the struggle worth it, just like racing the event itself.
So since you started all of this, in, you know, February 2011, what has this meant to you? Obviously, what has this meant to Kyle? You now have the Kyle Pease Foundation. Obviously, other people, other families. Were you surprised at the number of other families out there that were interested in doing something similar? Because a lot of times when you're living somewhere, you're the only one, right? You don't see that many other folks. But all of a sudden, when you have a sort of a worldwide stage, people find you and go, we want to do this as well.
Yeah. I mean, to me personally, you know, we grew up sports fans. And we talk about it all the time. And we watch Sports Center, not cartoons. And, you know, we would play baseball in the backyard and, you know, change the rules and make it work for Kyle. And we play basketball and football. And to just be able to see Kyle as a true athlete, because I think what we've now all learned is the most naturally gifted athlete in our family was actually always Kyle.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he has a knack for this stuff. He's, you know, he's tough as nails from what he's just what he's had to endure
right.
personally. But just the way he took to the sport, and we see it. You know, we had a unfortunately we had a team this past weekend that struggled at Ironman Wisconsin, and I was talking and learning about their experience and thinking, man, I mean, Kyle just jumps in with this stuff and doesn't, you know, who wants to go 45 miles per hour on the front of the bike, you know, feeling out of control, and you know, who wants to run marathons and know their splits and you know, tell you when to speed up or slow down. He really is. And so just that to me, it's just, it's allowing me to see that. And I think the other thing is, you know, Rick's disability affected Dick in different ways and everybody around them. And, you know, for me, it was always one of those things that felt heartbreaking, whether that was the right reaction or not, it was my reaction. And so watching Kyle, cross the finish line and hearing Mike Riley call his name, is heartwarming, and
yeah.
it makes me feel like, hey, you know, what you went through, what we went through was worth it, and it was, this is why, for us to share this, and that's what it means, and seeing other people that come out, like, that was one of the most surprising things. I mean, Kyle gives me way more credit for helping start the foundation than I deserve, because after we finished that St. Anthony's triathlon, Kyle said, I want other people to do this. This is crazy. This is so much fun. I mean, but it took us a little while to find those people, and once we did, yeah, you're right. Like, they come out of everywhere because everybody wants to be included, and this was just a different method for them to feel that, for them to experience it, and that's a pretty cool thing for us to share that with so many others.
Now, how often do you guys get out and train together?
We do it a lot. So especially usually kind of the MO for the big stuff is with 10 to 12 weeks outside of an event, we start getting out together and really stressing Kyle and testing the equipment again and making sure we're ready. So last weekend we actually, went to the North Georgia Mountains, Kyle's first trip up there. It's not normally a safe place for him to ride, but again, so many people want to help us for Kona. We had follow vehicles and three cyclists behind us and two cyclists in front of us. And Kyle got to see what it was like climbing up in one of the best places here. But, like this weekend, we'll go out and do a 7-hour bike ride in a brick.
Wow.
You know, so, but that's, you know, he's got a 15-hour, you know, 14 to 17-hour day in front of him. And, it's hard. I love the old pictures of Rick when he was, you know, in his 30s.
Yes.
Because he looks like an athlete. I mean, you look
no
at him.
He's chiseled.
That,
no question.
He's chiseled.
Yeah.
He's chiseled. Exactly. And, you know, you look at Kyle and you get that same impression. Like, that's an athletic young man right there.
What is the toughest challenge for Kyle during this?
It's always the bike.
Yeah. It's so long.
You know, it's long and he sits in a perfectly, you know, you and I get up and down from our desk every day. We walk around, we drive, we do whatever. Kyle sits in the same position for 16 to 18 hours a day. And it's a perfectly contoured wheelchair, though. Like, everything about it is built for his body.
Right.
And, you know, so to throw him onto a bike that's not what he's used to and have to sit there for 8, 9, 10 hours and endure all that, it's just always the toughest part.
I mean, once you make the bike cutoff time, then you're probably feeling pretty good.
Yeah, well, until he starts barking at me to run faster.
Pick up the pace.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. So recently you had the opportunity to sort of pay it forward. And we had, you know, Lucas and Noah Aldridge, who are wonderful. And same mm-hmm. type of situation, older brother wanting to take care of his younger brother. Talk a little bit about the surprise there, because they'll be coming to Kona as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was just excited that we got to be a part of that. You know, I always felt close to Kyle growing up, but it never occurred to me that there was this world out there, and for them to find this way to bond and share that experience together it's really cool to watch that. And so when we were asked just to be able to share that surprise with them, it was just, you know, we wanted to jump right in and give them that. I mean, what an awesome opportunity to get to see the best athletes in the world and get to compete there themselves. So we were just honored to be able to surprised them, and it looked like the whole family loved hearing from somebody in a similar situation to them. For them to look at Kyle and say, "Hey, there's a 32-year-old man with a job and a college degree, and you know things are going to be okay, and we'll all go race together," just to remind ourselves that.
Well, and what's great about that is those kids are 10, 11 years old. I mean, they're youngsters. Yeah, and they'll be coming to do the Keke race. They'll be doing the little kids race on Tuesday of race week. But then the entire family will be there all week to watch you guys race as well. That, like you mentioned, for them to have that opportunity to see that there is hope, that there is opportunity, that you can be an athlete no matter what the circumstances. I think that's going to be a pretty amazing story.
I agree.
So it sounds like you guys got big training blocks coming up. What are your concerns when you've done other Ironman races, but we both know that Kona is just a different beast. Now, have you raced that on your own?
I have not.
Have you been there?
I have not.
I love it.
I know. You know, I train with a group here in Atlanta, Dynamo Multisport, and, you know, we've been fortunate that since I've been involved, there's been people from Dynamo Racing on the island every year.
Right.
And a couple of times the opportunity was available, and I just, at that point, I was already racing with Kyle, opportunity for me to come and watch. And at that point, I was already racing with Kyle, and I just kind of made a decision that I didn't want to go without him.
Right.
Because being a fan of the sport, you know, you hear everybody talking about the race itself and the energy of the island and just the way the race just has this different feel. And you can speak to it way better than I can. I'm just regurgitating what I've read or heard. And I didn't want to experience that without him. I wanted to step off the plane with Kyle and feel the heat and feel the energy and know, you know, that we were about to do something, embark on an incredible journey together.
And what have you heard from Dick through all this, Dick Hoyt?
You know, I try not to get starstruck too often. But, you know, he's the
godfather
in this. Yeah. He's El Jefe. And, he called me about a week after we got in at Raleigh there, and it was great. You know, I definitely got starstruck listening to him talk and share. And I said, "Well, you know, Dick, what would you tell me?" And his nice thick Boston accent, he said, "Well, geez, I don't know. You seem to be doing all right without me." So that was great. But he just talked about that climb up to Javi,
yes,
and you know, just to really kind of push through all that stuff. And you know, of course, he's such a good athlete, and even today, you know, and he was talking about, you know, getting back to the island, and, you know, I think that speaks to the power of the race and the island and just everything about it, that it still came through when he was just wishing me luck.
Yeah, he's very, very special. Getting over there, it's funny, because the uphill to Javi is something everybody talks about, but the crosswinds on that downhill, especially with 400 pounds, that'll be just as challenging for you guys as well. That would probably be the one thing. And the interesting thing about that, you can go out there and ride that 10 days in a row, and on race day, the wind will be totally different. It's never the same. It's never, there's so,
right.
The only thing you can predict is that it's unpredictable, and you know, every day you go out there, it could be raining. It could be blowy. It could be calm. So, you know what? You guys are going to be great. How early will you guys get over?
We'll get out there the Saturday before.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get all your equipment dialed in, and that way you can just focus on all the media stuff. So hopefully we can get you to come on the breakfast show during that week.
We would love that, man. I'd love for you to meet Kyle in person. And
I would love it.
I'm the undercard, man. He's the real draw.
He's amazing. He really is amazing.
Yeah. And I appreciate it. We think so.
That's what Dick always said. He said, "Listen, people, because Rick can't talk, people don't know how special he is, but he's the real athlete here. He's the one who pushed me to do this, and he's the one that said, Dad, I feel alive when we do this."
Yeah.
And all these other kids out there who are sitting in a bed going, "What's my life? What does life hold for me?" can watch Kyle and go, "There's hope." So if people want to support your foundation, what can they do?
So you can go to kylepsfoundation.org, and we've got a nice splash page for Kona that you can support us for the Kona journey. But, you know, we've got 19 athletes going to the Marine Corps Marathon, so Kyle and I get to come back from Kona and then hop on a bus to Washington, D.C., and so you can see all the different campaigns that we have and all the different events that we have.
Wow.
And then, of course, you can just follow along on the social media front, because if you don't have social media, I guess you're not doing what you're supposed to these days, right?
Absolutely. You got to do it all. And Brett, when you're not doing the foundation stuff, what do you do?
So, you know, I say that triathlon has allowed me to quit a lot of jobs since I started on this personal stuff on my journey. So I coach out at Dynamo Multisport under Matthew Rose. So I have a small client roster that I coach mostly for half and full Ironmans. And then I'm the executive director of the foundation as well. So between all that and training and a couple of kids and a brother, I got plenty of spare time.
You don't have much spare time. You got it all. Hey, Brett, thank you so much for taking time. Congratulations on everything you're doing. I really look forward to meeting Kyle and Conan. I'll send you some time options and see how we can set that up. I'd love it.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bob. We appreciate it.
All right. Brett Peace has been our guest. Again, it's the Kyle Peace Foundation. Definitely check it out. It's going to be one of the best stories coming out of Kona this year. Again, we are brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, by Polar, Chase Your Destiny, by PremiumPlus-Sports.com, USA-SwimRun.com. Grab a partner and give a swim run a try. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We sent out 2,806 grants this year, totaling $4.3 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.